Sometimes when people attack deconstruction, they talk about it like it's an attack on Christianity. Actually, it's just the opposite. Deconstruction is tearing down false religious teaching that goes against the message and life of Jesus. That message has been perverted by much of the Christian religion. Beloved, there is one thing that scares this non-affirming, fundamentalist, legalistic, rules-based, conditional love church more than anything else. You know what that is? It's you. And you know what they're scared you will do? Talk. That's why they work so hard to keep you silent and scared. So we are going to talk and begin to ask some pretty big questions. You're going to love this.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
Well, hello and welcome to the Freed Hearts Podcast. My name is Robert Cottrell and I'm here as always with
Susan Cottrell.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Great. Glad to be here.
Well, yeah. I'm glad you're with us, those who are listening. I'm glad you're with us too. Talking about you and everybody. You know, our mission, our tagline at the Freed Hearts Podcast is deconstructing religious baggage with laughter and love. So why? Why do we want to do that? What's the goal?
Good
the goal
question.
Is freedom. Freedom from what? From all the baggage, the guilt, the shame, the fear. And there's a life, a love.
Joy.
A joy just more beautiful Peace. Than you can ever imagine. And we want that for you. We
yes.
want that for us.
Yes.
And sometimes when fundamentalist Christians attack deconstruction, I'm sure you've heard it, they talk about it like it's an attack on Christianity. Actually, it's just the opposite. Deconstruction is tearing down these false religious teachings and beliefs that actually go against the message and teaching and life of Jesus. When you deconstruct your faith, beloved, you rediscover how profoundly radical and unconditionally loving and accepting Jesus is. And that message has been perverted by much of the Christian religion.
Yes, yes, it has.
And we have been deconstructing here on the podcast for quite a while now. And we consider this a great adventure. And from what we hear back from many of you, it's a great adventure for you too. Even if it's challenging or hard, we don't convey that deconstruction is easy, because we are coming against, you're deconstructing things that have been
years of beliefs,
well,
of conditioning.
Yeah, that have been you're deconstructing what has been told to you.
Constructed in you, yes, that's right.
Are immovable pillars of faith. Well, it's sand and straw is what it is. And when you look at it, it's not what you thought. So as we look back over the podcast so far, we've done a lot of work in this, deconstructing our understanding that we didn't really choose. It's just always been that way. It was chosen for us. We inherited it. Now we've been grappling with our beliefs and trying to make sense of it. Well, we want to dive deeper into these questions and find answers that make sense, or no answers. Either's okay, but no more false answers or preschool answers to life's biggest questions.
It's true.
You know, and we'll continue to move from religion to relationship, and we're going to take the Band-Aids off and clean out the infection. Doesn't that sound fun?
Yeah. Well, the church is wrong about LGBTQ. We know that now. The teaching has been a lie. So what else are they wrong about?
Yeah, I mean, that's right. That's the church was wrong about this.
Yeah.
Extremely wrong, to the point of hurting an entire group of people,
yeah,
and encouraging parents to hurt their children.
Yes.
This is not a minor thing to be wrong about.
Yes.
But the teaching is completely wrong and has been manipulated and edited and changed to justify this.
And
so what else are they wrong about?
And they've
about?
Been dragged kicking and screaming to have to pretend to be affirming, even. They're not even affirming these evangelical.
Right. Right.
But they haven't had a come to Jesus moment. many of them have, but even still,
yeah,
You know, they don't want to give up their funding. So they're not saying, you know what, we have been wrong here. They're not good at that.
No, they've never been good. Again, Jesus told them that, and what happened? You know,
yeah, they killed him for it.
Yeah,
So what they're wrong about, they're not good at coming clean. So we have to excavate this for ourselves. And that's what happened when our child first came out. I think every parent has this story, and probably the LGBTQ people have the story too, of saying, oh my gosh, if I was wrong about that, what else am I wrong about? And that's what we're going to address, all the other things they're wrong about. Because when our child first came out as queer, I knew in that moment that we'd never fit in the church again. I just knew it. You've probably heard me say that before. And this is a terrible indictment of the church for two big reasons. First of all, the reason is that the church is meant to be a sanctuary, a place of welcome and protection from the hardness and injustice of the world. It's not meant to be a place of hardness and injustice. And the second reason is we knew the church would be unsafe for us before anyone ever told us. That's how bad the reputation is of the conservative evangelical church as being unsafe for the outlier. And they earned that reputation by being unsafe for the outlier. And it turned out to be true that they were not safe for us. We were not safe there.
That's right.
But the other thing we saw when our child came out is that our church theology was wrong. And if we were so wrong about that, what else were we wrong about? And that's the classic question. And so those are the things we're going to dive into. And we know this can be scary because, gee whiz, we thought we had these questions nailed down.
Well, and we're taught that way. We're taught that these are, I can't think of the word right now. I've been searching for it for a while, but these are the cornerstones, the
pillars.
The pillars, the gospel truth that you can't even question.
Yes.
Well, that's convenient to say something is unquestionable. Well, right. There you go.
Yeah. And they really traffic in certainty. They really like to give you certain certainty, even if it's false. And, you know, we know that there are many pieces of injustice that the church has handled badly. And so what are those pieces? And, you know, it's to the point that if this piece is wrong, I don't even know who I am anymore. I don't even know who the church is anymore. Yeah, I don't, and maybe I don't even know who God is anymore. And we've been through all that. And especially in a church, and are in that, I suppose, but especially when they tell you that they have the answers, and that's what it's all about. That's what will keep you in line to follow your leaders, is if they tell you they have the answers. And it can be scary to face those questions we've been conditioned to be afraid of. Suddenly the ground's shaking and your solid foundation is not so solid. So now what? How far does this thing deconstruct? Because underneath it all, we're afraid we'll unravel the whole thing and there will be nothing left. No identity and no God, and definitely no certainty that we used to take for granted. But we are courageous, and I mean collective we, are all courageous on this journey to be facing these questions. And, you know, we've already shown that by going as far as we have in our paths, all of us, by facing the things that others don't even realize. So we're going to unpack those big questions or continue to unpack them. But, you know, we're going to dive a lot deeper. And if the question is, what else were we wrong about? What else have they taught us wrong? Buckle up, because that's where we're going.
That's right.
Yeah, we're going to deconstruct down to the concrete slab.
Absolutely. And maybe deconstruct the concrete slab. You know, deconstruction is not a straight line. It's an untangling.
Yeah.
It's a desperate attempt to untangle God from people like Mark Driscoll and John Piper and Franklin Graham and James Dobson. The common thread is that they are men with empires to protect and who would always say, well, this isn't my opinion, it's God's, take it up with him. Well, now we are.
I love that. That's great.
You know, now we are.
Okay, we will take it up with God. Thank you very much.
Let's just, and this will be a number of episodes coming up here, but mm-hmm. what questions are we going to ask? Susan just said, buckle up. So we're going to dive into questions about the nature of God. Is God scary? Is God a he, him? Could God possibly create a place like hell and send people to it for eternity? We dive into questions about the nature of humanity. Are humans basically good or basically fallen? Is it our job to embrace our neighbor or correct our neighbor? And then what do we do with all that? What does it mean for us and our communities? Like the fall of humanity, is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Like Jesus having to die for our sins, is that true?
These are foundational.
Yeah, I know. Like those petty things that you do that you're told are sins and God gets really torqued about it. Is that true? You know, when we see so many huge transgressions going on, so much pain and harm, so much marginalization and oppression with no accountability, is it really my sexuality God is so worried about? Or my gender identity or cussing? Are those little tiny things really the frickin' deal breaker? I almost threw that in there, but I couldn't. Yeah, all these questions. I mean, try asking any one of these in church on Sunday morning and see how that goes. Again, they've set it up where you can't even question it.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. And I think you're going to love this.
Yeah. I mean, you're not allowed to ask or even really think in this non-affirming, queerphobic, xenophobic worldview. Well, that's where we're going to go.
Misogynistic, racist, all the things.
Yeah, so buckle up.
Yeah. And I do think you're going to love this.
Absolutely, you're going to love this.
And we're going to definitely love bringing it to you. So each of these is really a standalone episode, but they're also building together a different worldview. Or maybe it's more like removing some of the dilapidated eyesores around us so that we can see the beauty, the trees, the mountains. Mm. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
And this is relevant whether you're religious or not. If it's relevant, even if you in no way are religious or you are so over it, because Christianity has enjoyed enormous privilege in this culture, and it has shaped not just our personal beliefs, but our cultural beliefs, our ethos, our laws, our institutions, how we engage with each other, race, mental health, ourselves, our sexuality, our identity. All of those things have been directed by the Christian / Catholic ethos of this country. It's woven into the fabric of who we are. And the picture of the tapestry they've created is not good. It's harmful to a lot of people. And that's why so many of us are pulling those threads, because we want to create a new picture.
Yeah. You know, like you said, if you are not religious or if you're so over it and done with it, that's fine. That's great. We're not trying to.
You're still going
to
see what society has been built with.
Yeah, the importance
and you have been built with.
The importance that you continue to deconstruct those things is to be free from any remaining guilt, shame, whatever. And you probably know people who are still going through that, still on the receiving end of that. So it's important for all of us to know these things. Yeah,
yeah. And someone asked me once, I know this is scary, and someone asked me recently, I guess, why would I want to deconstruct my faith? I built it over a long time and I value it. I think it's dangerous to deconstruct. Yeah, I know. And that's like the prodigal brother that we talked about last week, the older brother of, hey, I've done all this stuff. I don't want it to count for nothing. I don't want to deconstruct it. I understand that it does feel very scary to think about deconstructing something that's so precious and valuable to you. It feels like taking apart your own house piece by piece.
Yeah. I will say too that, and I love what you just said there, because there are two things here. I think it's scary because we've been taught to be scared.
Yes.
And then, but the other part of that is that it's something that's so precious and valuable to you. And I understand that, but what I think is precious and valuable to you is God's unconditional love.
Yeah.
Your relationship with others and your community. And if you think about that,
point.
All of those things have been corrupted and perverted
yes.
by this church. So what you find precious, that's what you can rediscover here.
I love that. I love that. What you're going to find under the debris as we remove that is something so much better than you ever had. I am so much more in love with my spiritual journey now than I was in the church. It's so much more satisfying. And we are more like Jesus today than we ever were when we were in the church. Way more.
Yeah.
In our kindness and love and embrace.
Yeah, we're going to find what we thought we had and what we long for, what our hearts.
Yeah, we're going to find what our hearts really longed for. Yeah.
And if it can be deconstructed, it should be.
Yes.
If you've built a house of straw, you don't want to let the wolf be the one to test it. Then it's, then it's too late. If your house can come down with a few well-placed questions and some thoughtful answers, then you want to do that, beloved. I know we want to do that.
Yeah.
And what's solid, what's really important to you, to your family, to your neighbors, to humanity, will stand strong.
That's right. We want to deconstruct what can be deconstructed, because what can't be won't be. The truth won't be deconstructed. It's lies that we're deconstructing.
That's right. So no question should be, well, don't ask that. Let's don't go there.
Right.
Well, if we ask the question about something and it stands strong, then fine.
Right.
But don't just ask it because we've been told don't ask
it. You know? So this was all kind of helping you understand where we're going to go. So today we're going to start with something simple. Deceptively simple. We're going to start with a little quiz about how you view God. Even if you are over God, God is still in the culture. It's still in your bones.
God as you define it too. Yeah.
Yeah. God as you define God, what you really think about God. And, you know, I said it was simple. So how we see God or the universe or whatever you want to call it, spirit, says a lot about us because it reflects how we feel about ourselves. If we don't think we're worthy, lovable, or acceptable, then we definitely won't think that God does love us or find us worthy or acceptable. And again, we have no hidden agenda here. We don't care if you have a relationship with God. We care, though, if you're hindered by a false understanding of a God who is not happy with you and does not embrace you as you are.
That's very important to know.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a few questions, and you answer this based on your experience with God. And everybody's had an experience of God in some form. But I want you to answer from your worst moment, when you hate your life, when you aren't sure you'll make it another day. Answer from that place. Don't give the right answer or the Bible answer or what someone taught you, but the true answer. The first answer that comes to mind, okay? Nobody will see it, so you can come clean. You don't even have to show God. Don't worry about that. But you will need to remember the answers for just a few minutes, because I'm going to come back to them. So if you jot them down if you want, but you know, you can also just remember it. You'll at least remember the feeling from the answers that you give, okay?
Okay, cool. So, go for it.
All right. So in your experience, in your worst moments, is God there for you when you need God most? If you really need help, can you count on God to be there? Again, not the right answer, but the true answer. If you're being bullied, do you feel that God stands squarely with you or maybe with the bully? When you make a mistake, how do you think God will respond? When you need to be comforted or encouraged or your tears wiped away, do you feel that God is the one to do that? How does God feel about all this exploration and deconstruction you're doing? How about this one? When you think about eternity after this life, how excited do you feel about it, or are you afraid? And finally, do you feel 100% safe emotionally in your deepest being with God? In my experience, most of us, if we're honest, will say, no, not really. Most of us, when we're honest, will say, I'm a little afraid of God. And by a little, they mean a lot. Okay, now, if you got your answers in your head, I'm going to ask you the questions again, but this time I want to ask in relation to your father growing up. In your experience, was your father there for you when you needed him most? If you really needed help, could you count on your father to be there? Again, not the right answer, the true answer. If you're being bullied, do you feel that your father stood squarely with you or maybe with the bully? When you make a mistake, how do you think your father will respond? Or would have responded. When you needed to be comforted and encouraged and your tears wiped away, did you feel that your father was the one to do that? How does or did your father feel about all this exploration and deconstructing you're doing? Was this eye-opening for you? I have done this in groups and individually, and the answers are usually things like, God is not there for me. God would side with the bully. God is not the person I would go to for comfort. And when we come back through the second round of questions, they say, oh my gosh, that's exactly how I feel about my dad. It's the same way. Dad is not there for me, would side with the bully, is not the person I'd go to for comfort. Why does this happen? It happens because our view of God primarily comes subconsciously from our view of our father, because he's the one that holds the power when we're tiny babies. Now, it could be your mom, but generally, even if mom is the primary nurturer, which she often is in traditional families, dad was still the final say. He was still the big voice, because we live in patriarchy. This is not a judgment. It's understanding what builds our worldview. We call God Father, for heaven's sake. And this is not a comment on gay marriage or other non-traditional families at all either. And I'm eager to see how we continue to evolve with so many non-traditional, non-heteronormative families. I love to see where this is going to take us in breaking down heteronormativity. And I think it's only going to be good for all of us. Certainly you can grow up with two moms and not miss a dad at all, but I'm talking about how our views are formed. And most of us grew up either with a dad or with the expectation of a dad that was unfulfilled, or with an absent dad, and we knew a dad was absent. I'm thinking of someone who grew up with an abusive dad. She made her peace with him, but the abuse was always roiling underneath. And today her dad is long since dead, but today she has of her loving relationship with God, whom she views as the opposite of her dad, and she knows God loves her, Jesus loves her, etc. But there's an undercurrent of fear. It's like, I know God loves me and you know, so much, but I'm not going to push it. Because she saw what her father was capable of in his anger, and she's read the Old Testament. She's grown up in church. So that undercurrent is there, and she doesn't want to piss God off. And she would never say it, but it is the driving engine. And I understand that. And I think that is true for a whole lot of us, for probably most of us who grew up in the church. Or I'll tell you about another friend who has been with his husband for ages. He's marched in parades. He's thrown off his toxic religious upbringing a long time ago, estranged from his rejecting family. And he told me the other day, I lie awake at night and wonder if I'm wrong, if God really is mad at me. he couldn't be more certain rationally, but that emotional undercurrent of fear still stays there because it pierces into our heart and it just has a lot of staying power. So I hope that that was eye-opening for you. And if you need more clarity, ask God to make it more clear and don't be afraid to do that or talk to somebody about it. But we will continue to dismantle as we go and make amazing new discoveries. But for now, you might want to just keep thinking about this and even meditate on it and see what you may be seeing for the first time or have been seeing but haven't really wanted to see.
Hey, you know, beloved, there's one thing that scares this non-affirming, fundamentalist, legalistic, rules-based, conditional love church more than anything else. Mm-hmm. You know what that is? It's you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they're scared you're going to do? Ask questions and talk.
Yeah. We can't have that.
That's why they work so hard to keep you silent and scared. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to ask questions and talk. We are going to talk. The Friedhearts Podcast, like I said, is about deconstructing religious baggage with laughter and love. And as we've said, we are beginning to ask and talk about some big questions.
Yeah.
I promise you, stay on the journey. Just stay on the journey with us here. There is a life and love and freedom and peace and joy more beautiful and fulfilling than you could ever imagine.
And if something comes up for you as we go that you're like, something is sticking in your craw about what we said or whatever, just email us. Yeah. Don't let that shut you down.
I was just going to say that. Okay. Email us. That's great. Email us at podcast@friedhearts.org. Again, email
or
us.
Or susan@friedhearts.org. It all goes to the same thing. It all goes to us.
Yeah. So just, don't let that stick in there. Reach out to us and we'll clarify and just stay on the journey.
Yeah.
Again, we believe that you are going to love this.
Yeah.
We love you.
It's exciting. This is opening.
It is.
It's opening a Pandora's box that you've been told not to open at any cost. It's going into that secret locked room and see what is in there after all.
It's gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. You're going to love this.
Yeah. We love you so much.
We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
You've been listening to the Freed Hearts Podcast. We have extensive resources and vibrant, inclusive community for you at freedhearts.org. Please just come say hello. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions for the podcast, just email us at podcast@freedhearts.org. Audio engineering is provided by Luke Johnson. The music is provided by Hannah Cottrell, our daughter, the Grammy-nominated Saint Sinner. You can find out more about her and her music at heysaintsinner.com. Please share, subscribe, and follow on your favorite platform, and support us if you can. Thanks for listening.